venerable sisters, dear parishioners, dear visitors and guests. I would like to reflect upon the shepherds in this sermon. And I know that's somewhat unusual because our reflection is more directly upon Christ and His Holy Mother and Saint Joseph. But there are some very valuable lessons that the shepherds teach us. And if we can learn those lessons, we will more readily take in, imbibe, so to speak, the message of Christmas. There are very direct references to the shepherds in the first and second Mass of Christmas Day. No direct references that I could see in the third Mass, other than the indirect one about Him coming to His own and His own received Him not. But, of course, they were the ones that were of His own and did receive Him. So who were the shepherds? They were, generally speaking, a despised class of people. I suppose it's because that was the default way to make a living. If one couldn't be a farmer or an artisan, or be somebody in government or finance or business, and if one couldn't do anything else, couldn't eke out a living in any other way, then go be a shepherd. And all the other people tended to look down upon them. You're just a shepherd. You tend animals. Now, to be sure, there were many shepherds needed, because not only were animals needed for sustenance, but also for the many sacrifices demanded by the Mosaic Law. So yes, many shepherds were needed, but looked down on. What were they doing out there in the middle of the night? In an area, in a place where the angel would come to them and give them the most amazing news that a Savior, the Savior of the world, was born. Do you know what they were doing, my dear brethren? They were doing their daily duty. They were doing hard work. They were cold. They were tired. But the sheep, the animals out in the fields, had to be watched. They had to be defended against predators. Maybe there were some of the animals giving birth, and so they have to tend to that. Maybe there was some feeding going on. What's very clear is they were up in the middle of the night working. And right there we see an example to us of doing our own daily duty. Our daily duty demands sacrifices of us. And weak human beings that we are, we tend to slough off those sacrifices, not make those sacrifices of daily duty. Indeed, is this not problem we're having as a nation, as a civilization, of shirking the responsibilities of state in life, whatever that state may be, whether married or the highest state of all, the religious life, or even that of the single state? There are sacrifices to be made, and to be made generously. And when we make those sacrifices generously, we sanctify ourselves in the process. I think this is, again, one of the very clear lessons we take from the shepherds to do our daily duty. It should not be surprising, then, that part of the very Fatima message is that the first penance that God seeks of each one of us is the penance of our daily duty. And when we do it, and do it as best we can, we are, as I said, sanctifying ourselves, and we are also putting ourselves into a position to receive all the more grace and inspiration from God. The shepherds were doing their daily duty, albeit during the night, and they were privileged to hear the most astounding, glorious news that the Savior of the world was born. They were the first ones to hear it. The fact that they were despised also tells us by implication that they were more humble. They had to deal with being looked down upon. And is not humility all important in our spiritual lives? My dear brethren, humility is so important that Scripture tells us that God resists the proud. He will not give His grace when somebody refuses to humble himself or herself, submitting to the will of God, submitting to God's teachings, the rules even. Oh, that pride gets in the way so often, and we cut ourselves off from grace. When we see the shepherds, we see that they were the most receptive to the gospel message. And you know what? It really never changes. The high and mighty tend to be less receptive to God's grace. The shepherds came when they were summoned, when the angel told them. And they were told that when the wise men came to Jerusalem and all of Jerusalem was troubled and excited about their coming, there's nothing to tell us that they went down to Bethlehem. But really, it's not all that unusual, and really, human nature doesn't change. Today, we have the high and mighty in our government who find it against the law to say Merry Christmas. That's right. So far, have we descended into this pagan secularism that it's not permitted to even say, Blessed Feast of the Nativity, Merry Christmas. The high and mighty in business, they can't bring themselves to say Merry Christmas either. Happy Holidays. Season's Greetings. They're not getting it. This day is all about the birth of the incarnate God before whom the entire world should bow in loving humility, being so grateful that He would take on our human form to redeem us. We thank You, shepherds, for Your humble example, for Your being who You were, looked down upon, and because of Your humility, You were more open to the greatest news, the birth of the Savior. There was no room for Him in the inn, but there was room in your hearts, and you would have welcomed Him into your own homes if you could have. But of course, you were out in the fields tending the flocks. But you see, my dear brethren, that humility is so important. Let us be sure that we never look down on the humble classes. We may be looking down on somebody who has a clarity of spiritual vision that maybe we don't have, because we're higher up. See, it's harder to practice that humility as we go higher. So we have to make greater efforts in that regard. The shepherds also teach us responsiveness. They went with haste. That means move quickly. When it's something pertaining to God in our lives, do we move with haste? Do we move with enthusiasm? I'm going to Mass today. I'm going to pray my rosary. The shepherds teach us to be responsive, to be eager, to have alacrity. And after they went to see the newborn Savior, they went away glorifying God and praising Him, the Gospel tells us. What were they doing? They went away saying, "Thank you, God." And they were letting other people know. Isn't that what we should do? When we recognize the graces that we have received, to have hearts filled with thanksgiving and go tell it to others. Not be afraid to share the gospel message with others. So great lessons indeed that the shepherds taught us. But here's where we see the shepherding becoming so great now, because the one lying in the manger will one day call himself the Good Shepherd. He will be called the Lamb of God by St. John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him that taketh away the sins of the world. So He let Himself be seen as the Lamb, as the sacrificial Lamb. Just like all of the lambs were slain on Passover night, He would be slain on Passover night as the Lamb of God. But He didn't want us to think of Him just as the Lamb. He also said, "I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd who gives my life for the sheep." He will say that one day. Can there be any greater honor paid to that despised occupation of shepherding, to know that God Himself would want us to know Him as the shepherd of our souls? He would be prophesied as such. He shall feed His flock as a shepherd. And not only did He call Himself the Good Shepherd, but He gave us the parable about going in search after the lost sheep. There is more joy in heaven over the 99, or rather over the one sinner who was lost and found, than over the 99 who do not need to be found and saved. There's a beautiful reflection we sometimes have read on Good Friday, where as He's dying on the cross, the Good Shepherd is counting sheep. And He can never get past 99. Because once He gets past 99, there's that one lost sheep, that black sheep we sometimes call him or her, unfortunately. But He loves that lost little sheep, that little lamb. And He will do everything He can to save it. So great is this dignity of shepherd that that is the function that the apostles and their successors, the popes and bishops through the centuries, they were known as the shepherds of the spiritual flock of the church. So let us be grateful to that little boy who is the incarnate God, who is the Good Shepherd of our souls. He can't shepherd us in the literal sense, perhaps, in His manger, but in His heart, He has the heart of a shepherd, and He is doing all that He can out of love for us, to bring us to heaven. That's what it's all about. We need to cooperate. And let us not forget, of course, the mother of the Good Shepherd. You know, Christmas would be impossible without Mary. I'm not saying the coming of Christ would have been impossible. God can do anything. He could have come as a grown man. But the Christmas that we know is impossible without the mother. If you really want to know the Good Shepherd, get to know his mother and ask her to bring you ever more closely to him. The more devoted we are to the mother of the Good Shepherd, the more we will love the Good Shepherd himself. Let us ask her to learn of the lessons that those shepherds taught us from their fields. On that first Christmas night, let us pay attention to the lessons she shows us, even greater, far greater than the shepherds did. And may we always contemplate the Good Shepherd, what he does for us, how he shows us the way. May we ever love him more and more. A grace-filled and merry and joyous Christmas to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.